95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors,
O'Neill Williams is your guide.
Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls from high in the mountains in North Georgia called the Bojangles Studio. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning.
I feel good.
And what a great Saturday morning it is. We have a guest today. I'll tell you about him in a moment. But first of all, let me thank our sponsors that makes this show possible. No sponsors, no show. Tough Shed, Horsetown, Hayes Auto, Realtree, Fire Aid 2000, Timbuktu Outdoors, True Turn, Hooks, Roadrunner Lures, Crocodile Bay Resort, Stripling's General Store, great place there in Bogart, Georgia, Works Tools, the Whitetail Institute, Rugged Ridge Floor Liners and Jeep Parts, and of course now the new Governor's Gun Club there in Kennesaw, Georgia, and you're going to have to go there. So we have a lot of things to talk about this morning. We hope you'll join us. The O'Neill Outside program today on Fox Sports Southeast, my goodness, on Pursuit Channel, Fox Sun Sports, Fox Arizona, the Tough Shed, pardon me, that's Tough TV, and so many networks. There's a bug flying around in the room, and you can watch. It's a show that I did a few years ago with Davey Height. Now, Davey is a Bass Angler of the Year, won the Bassmasters Classic, and if you watch the show today, that's O'Neill Outside Television, I guarantee you there are things to hear and things to understand, a lesson from Davey Height. He's not just your average bass fisherman, I'll tell you that. We fished for a few hours, and we quickly determined that Davey is about five times better than O'Neill is. So that's a great lesson for you to watch O'Neill Outside today. And you can listen on FM 95.5, WSB AM 750, and on the Sports Broadcast Nation in Little Rock, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, in Sacramento, in Houston, in Dallas, and St. Louis, and Columbus, and all over the country. So, when I return in a moment, we'll take a break or two, and then we'll introduce our guest today, because if you listen, you'll find out so much about Georgia freshwater fishing. So you stay right there this morning, and you and I'll have to talk about that as the time goes on. This is O'Neill, and we'll be back. All right, welcome back, everyone. I want to introduce to you Matt Thomas. Now, Matt is the Chief of Fisheries for the Department of Natural Resources, the Wildlife Resources Division in Georgia, and that is the subject of our program this morning. And Matt is going to help us with freshwater fishing across Georgia. Let me give you the telephone numbers. Should you want to participate in the program, you may ask Matt questions. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255, 800-WSB-TALK, T-A-L-K. So, let me welcome Matt to the program. He came up in the little town of Jasper, Georgia, and spent the night for 3 or 4 hours. So, you found yourself to the top of the world here, didn't you, buddy?
I did. A little foggy this morning, but I made it.
Yeah, good for you. So, we're going to talk with Matt today through the 2 hours about freshwater fishing in Georgia. We're talking about night fishing and the opening of the private fishing areas for night fishing, the Georgia Slam, kids involved, license support, and the National Fishing and Boating Week that begins in June. So welcome to the program, sir. I appreciate you making the effort to come up and speak with us. Okay.
Thank you for
having
me.
We're talking about fishing in Georgia, right?
Absolutely.
But before we get to that, okay. We have marvelous fishing from these crystal clear lakes like Notley and Blue Ridge and Carters all the way down to the coast to Lake Seminole and all of that. But the management of these lakes and the critters that live in there, it requires money.
It does.
Who pays for it?
Anglers pay for it and have for a long, long time. So hunters and anglers, we need to thank them for being the conservationists that they are for almost 100 years now.
Yeah, indeed, it is almost 100 years. Wildlife Restoration Act, huh? 1935 or so?
That's right. And then the Act for Fisheries came along in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So it's a long-standing model, and it's anglers pay for conservation through their license sales and also the excise tax that they pay on all the fishing equipment that they use. And that's what funds this aquatic conservation that we're all involved in.
Yep, this costs money.
It does.
And we pay for it ourselves. And whether you're a PETA member of the National Humane Society or you don't catch a fish or don't kill a deer, you still realize monumental benefits from all that. So it's licenses, permits, all of those things, including the excise tax.
That's it.
How many fishermen do we have in Georgia?
Right now, we've got 1.2 million anglers in Georgia.
Wow.
And if you think about it, and it's not only a great way to spend time and be outdoors, but it's quite the economic impact on the state. And so those 1.2 million anglers are spending, you know, almost $1 billion in direct sales to kind of pursue their sport. So it's a big deal in Georgia.
Absolutely, it's a big deal. What's your favorite lake, personally?
Oh,
I got you with that one.
You did. You got me with that one, and I always kind of dodge that question. It's the one
rascal.
I caught the most fish at the last time I was there. So,
good answer.
And it changes. It changes.
Indeed, it does. What's our northernmost lake that would fall under your fisheries in Georgia?
You know, so we're bordered by other states, so. You know, we call it Chattoog. It's probably up right on the North Carolina border. And then you mentioned it earlier. If you think how big the state is and how the vastness of our fishing opportunities, it goes all the way down to the Okefenokee Swamp and those cypress-filled swamps the way up to, well, where we are today, way up in the mountains.
The Okefenokee, land of the trembling earth.
That's right. And a bunch of insects.
Yeah, I fished the Okefenokee Swamp one time, and what was a marvel to me was historically there used to be a little city out there.
Oh, yeah.
A logging community.
That's right.
Can you imagine summertime in the middle of the Okefenokee Swamp?
I cannot.
No, me neither.
I cannot. I've been in there quite a few times. I started my career out down that way, and no, I cannot imagine spending a summer.
That's right. Okay. All right, we're moving right along. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. Okay, here we are. It's the middle of May. Summertime is approaching rapidly. On the public fishing areas, what do you do about the fact that when it gets really hot, daytime fishing begins to slack off? What have you done about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You said earlier it's all about funding for some of our efforts, and if you think back, we've got the new license increase this year, first time since 1992.
Okay.
And so when we heard from our anglers of what they wanted more angler access and opportunity. And so one of the things we're doing at our public fishing areas is we're going to open them up to night fishing.
Okay.
So during the summer, like you talked about, 24/7. We're not going to shut down. And so we've lighted up the parking lots and the fishing piers. And we just didn't kind of, you know, go about doing this a couple years ago. We actually did a little experiment. And that's what we found out, that during those hot summer months, that folks really like the opportunity to go out and night fish on these areas.
Oh, so you're anticipating a terrific success with this.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the results from it.
Oh, no doubt this is guaranteed success.
Well, that's great. That's great.
All right, let's talk about for a minute about, and I'm a Georgia fisherman, and I own the license, and I've got my trout stamps. I'm ready to go.
Yep.
Okay. Man, I sure would like to go fishing this weekend. I wonder what's hot, what's going on, where are the fish biting, what's the stocking programs like. So how do I find that out before I go?
I tell you, in my mind, there's never been a better opportunity to get information from us. I mean, technology is wonderful, but a lot of where we put our focus lately is on customer service. And so we kind of live by, we want to make it easy for somebody to decide to go fishing every day.
All right.
So if you go to our website, GoFishGeorgia.com.
GoFishGeorgia.com.
That's
all
it.
Right.
You're going to find weekly trout stocking information. In fact, so every Friday afternoon, we'll put a list out of where we stock trout for that week. And you can sign up for that list, and we'll send it to you automatically.
Automatic. Notification.
Automatic. We actually have some of our staff, our biologists, write a fishing blog every week. And so you're getting it straight from the guys that are managing the resource. We'll tell you some of the conditions and what's biting and what's going on. And so everything nowadays is very interactive. If you don't know where to go trout fishing, if you get on that website, you'd be very impressed with the interactive trout maps that we have.
Okay.
And so you can line up the stocking reports. If wild trout streams are a thing, you can see where those are located. And so that's what we're kind of getting to, is we want to make it easier or remove any kind of barrier from keeping people to go fishing.
Okay. Well, that's fabulous information, because you don't to go to a trout stream with a child, yep. You don't have to pack up, you don't have to take the boat, throw a couple of rods or reels in the truck and go.
That's it. And you can look on there, and we'll actually tell you on that trout map which of those streams are stocked real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got kids or folks that just want to try to catch a lot of fish, then you'd probably want to visit that stream versus some of the more specialized streams, the catch and release streams or the artificial lure only segments. So we try to offer something for everybody, and it's a great time for anglers in terms of information.
Well, you've got 1.2 million anglers to be in touch with every week.
That's right. It's overwhelming, but you know, technology certainly has helped us.
Absolutely. Okay. Let me give you the telephone numbers again. If you have questions for Matt, call and tell us what your favorite lake is. Like Matt, it may be the last one you fished in. but give us a call, and if you have questions about the lakes where you live and the places you have been, give us a call. Otherwise, we have plenty of subjects coming up for Matt Thomas, Fisheries Chief, Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife Resources Division. And this is O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB and the Sports Broadcast.
And it makes...
You're listening to O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB and the Sports Broadcast Nation all across the country. And it's the number one most listened to live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. So are you proud of that? Well, you guys made it that way. If you'd like to be in touch with us this morning with O'Neill or Matt Thomas, Chief of Fisheries for the Department of Natural Resources, then you may reach us at 404-872-0750 or 800-WSB-TALK. And without a doubt, and of course we haven't rehearsed this, a lot of the questions I ask you can be superimposed to states all over the Southeast.
Sure.
The fish
sure.
don't know where they live.
That's right.
They do.
That's right.
No, they don't know. All right, let's talk about favorite lakes, if you will.
Okay.
In North, say, if I live, say, Jasper, all right, I live in a Jasper address, it's more likely that I would go to Carter's or Blue Ridge or Chattoog than it would be if I went on a spur of the moment to Lake Seminole.
Absolutely.
So separate the state a little bit for me. Give me the prime location in North Georgia and South Georgia.
Sure, gotcha. And it kind of depends on what you want to pursue. But, you know, you get down to South Georgia and some of the bigger reservoirs down there, like a Seminole, you know, well renowned for its bass fishery. And so the good thing about Georgia, it's so far south that Seminole will start much earlier in the season than, say, North Georgia. So
yeah. Springtime there is the late last week of February.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, and you know, it's almost similar species in a lot of instances. It's more of a timing thing. And so you can pursue whether it's striped bass or hybrid bass or largemouth bass or crappie, whatever. It's you're just doing it in a different place in Georgia, and typically the timing's a little bit different.
They react to the hours of daylight and the water temperature.
That's right. Water temperature, photo period plays a role in spawning. And, you know, it's been, I'm sure you know, it's been a very interesting spring.
Yeah, this year. Warm early and then stopped.
Stopped. Just flat out stopped. And then, of course, now we're well into the 70s on most of our water temps. So we're entering kind of that summer phase.
Yes. All right. Now, let's go to something else for a moment here. I live in North Georgia. Listener lives in North Georgia, and he's been going to Lake Lanier, and he's been going to Allatoona, but he can stand a new spot.
Yeah.
All right, he's going to add a. Hey, let's go. So let's go to a new lake.
Yep.
Okay, be it Notley or Chattoog or Blue Ridge. Where might you, in your experience as fisheries chief, where would you maybe point him that he would have a good experience in North Georgia, and how would he fish that lake?
I tell you. I would fish several lakes, you know, when you're fishing those clear mountain lakes, so you're really going to have to lighten up on your tackle and certainly your fishing line and stuff. You're dealing much, much deeper than you would in South Georgia. But kind of getting to what you were talking about, when you need a new place to go fishing, that's one of the things that we've actually launched in the last couple of years is this Georgia Bass Slam.
Oh.
And it's to get at what you're just talking about.
Tell me about it.
If you want, it's an angler recognition program, and so most people don't realize it now, but for this purpose, we recognize 10 different species of black bass in the state of Georgia. And so they live in very different places all over the state. And so the slam involves catching 5 of those 10 in 1 year. And so that will get you on the road to go to different habitats and different places.
Oh, good, good. Good incentive for you to fish in different places.
That's it.
And give me 5 of those.
Of course, everybody knows largemouth. Smallmouth.
Okay.
The Suwannee bass, which you're going to have to go down to South Georgia to get.
I hadn't thought about that
That's
in a long
right.
time. The Suwannee, okay.
The shoal bass.
Okay, I like him.
I love
you throw
the
a lure
bass.
Over there close to him, he's going to bite.
That's got to be one of my all-time favorites.
And wait, before you leave him, he's in the Flint River.
He is in the Flint River. He's in the Chattahoochee River. Most people don't
way
realize.
Way down south.
Well, and upstream of Lake Lanier.
Oh, that's up above Duncan Bridge at
there
Lake Lanier.
There you go. So a lot of people don't realize that they can pursue shoal bass up above Lanier.
Okay. And, so, and what's the last one then out of that 5?
Oh, let's see. I would go with spotted bass. It's probably one of the more common ones.
Okay. All right. Spotted bass.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. 30 minutes after the hour if you're keeping count. So that's the Bass Slam. So now here's another little incentive created by the Department of Natural Resources and you guys. Here's the Bass Slam. Now here's something for you to do. And that's going to require you to venture in new territory and new lakes and new methods. And in these North Georgia lakes, I got to tell you, from a technique standpoint, 6-pound test line is plenty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I saw a deep North Georgia reservoir, I'm like, wow, that is clear. You know, I'm from started my career down in South Georgia, so I'm used to the Walter F. George and Lake Seminoles, and to see those mountain lakes was something unique.
Yeah. I tell you, one of my favorites, and I always kind of get to recommendations, O'Neill's a big mouth, Carter's Lake with that canal that goes over to the dam intake.
Yeah.
If you get that, if you call around and you get that schedule of generation,
you're ahead of the game.
When you get that generation schedule and you get at the mouth of that canal when they start that generation, you're about to get bit.
Oh wow, that's a good thing to do.
Oh boy, you're about to get bit. That's for sure. One of the things that, and I'm going to jump around here over the next couple of hours.
Okay.
One of the things that's a favorite topic to me. Connected back to who pays for all this, we're going to have to get children away from their computers and video games and get them into fishing.
That's right.
Please
That's
comment.
Right. Absolutely. And you mentioned it earlier that the funding from conservation comes from sportsmen and women, hunters and anglers, has for many, many decades. And so, and we talked about it, not only is fishing a great family activity, but it's also getting the next generation of conservationists involved, and so that we can continue this model of users pay for conservation, users enjoy conservation. And so that's one of the aspects of making sure that we're fostering kind of a stewardship or an outdoor ethic for the next generation. and so that they continue those conservation efforts.
Well, you know, Matt, everybody can't be the high school quarterback.
That's right.
You know, if you're 5'7", 150, you're not going to be the offensive tackle for the high school team. But if you're a fisherman, you are very unique among your classmates.
Absolutely.
If you're an outstanding angler, I know personally that during the early years of Travis, my grandson, when he was in high school, the principal called him to the office every Monday morning to see what he did over the weekend, where they went fishing and what they did.
There you go.
It was something to be proud of, and now he is a hunting guide for whitetail and turkey in North Texas.
Oh, wow.
So fishing and hunting is his life. So this is ultra important that we get these kids away from the computers and get them out there in on the stream. And listen, guys, I'm talking directly to you here. You don't have to try to catch a world's record largemouth with your 6-year-old. Just a little pumpkin seed brim is just fine.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to to Lake Seminole or Hartwell. Go to a pond close by. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
It's you and him or you and her. It's an individual thing. It's not a team sport. And as I mention almost every week, I got to tell you, Matt, what's the most beautiful thing in fishing is the hole in the water where the cork used to be.
There you go. There you go.
Isn't that great?
I like that. It is great. That is
great. Get your children involved in fishing and outdoors. And in fishing especially, it's non-consumptive. Catch them and put them back.
That's right. And it'll get you out to some beautiful places. It'll take you all over this country, all over the world if you pursue it. And so that's what I've really enjoyed about fishing. It's a lifelong activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get you in some beautiful places.
Oh, boy. All right, let's talk about a little critter here just for a moment before we go to the next break. He's one of my favorites in Georgia, and it's the shoal bass.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites, too.
Oh, my goodness. He's an aggressive little creature. Now, listen to me now, everyone. You want to catch a different species, a really gamey critter, where would you tell people to go look for shoal bass?
So, shoal bass, you're in the right state. Georgia is the shoal bass state, and so most folks know that shoal bass are in the Flint River, all the way up kind of in the Piedmont to where all the way the Flint River flows down near Albany, Georgia. And so, but they're also, like we talked about, in the Chattahoochee River.
Yeah.
And so above Lake Lanier is a great place to fish. There's some shoal bass actually in the Ocmulgee River. Just south
down,
of Lake
down below
Jackson.
Jackson Lake.
That's it. And what most folks have noticed, so we've got a pretty large increase in folks using kayaks and canoes to get
popular.
Out on. And so we've been installing kayak launches and steps on a lot of these rivers. And so if you'll get on our website and look, well, where can I put in on the Ocmulgee, or where can I put in above Lake Lanier? You'll start seeing that we've got more boating access locations that are going to help those folks, particularly with shoal bass. It's gotten very popular over the last several years.
Oh, absolutely. Just paddle yourself along.
Yep.
Get to places nobody else can go with a boat.
Yep. It's definitely low-tech fishing. It's you, a paddle, and a fishing rod.
That's exactly right. Okay. We're going to when we come back from this break, we're going to switch over to southern waters for the state of Georgia. And we'll pick out a couple. I've got a surprise question for you when we get back, and it lets you start thinking about it. And it is the Go Fish Center in Perry, Georgia. You will want to know about this, whether you live in Georgia, the Carolinas, Florida. This place is one of a kind.
Absolutely.
This is O'Neill, and we'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. We have with us Matt Thomas, and you're listening to O'Neill Outside. And before I surprise him with the next question, then I want to, and we're going to talk about the Go Fish Center, outstanding facility. But there's something going on this weekend that has application for the children who want to go fishing. Tell us about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So this is rain or shine, given the weather that we're having. But down at the Charlie Elliott Wildlife Center, today we're having our Keeping Georgia Wild Festival, and so this is hundreds of kids and their families. It's a fun-filled day, free of charge. It's sponsored by the Georgia Wildlife Federation, the FCA Outdoors, and of course Georgia DNR. But it's not just fishing. So we're going to offer archery. Our law enforcement division rangers will offer boat rides. There'll be some live animal exhibits, mm-hmm. face painting, free lunch. I mean, you name it, it's going to be a great time. And so that starts at about 10 a.m. and will run for several hours throughout the afternoon.
I've been to a few things, and it's marvelous. All the children are smiling.
That's right. That's right.
It's an adventure.
It's a great opportunity. We'll have a lot of folks there. If you're new to fishing and just tadding, you want to learn more about archery, whatever you're interested in, we'll have several folks out there that can help you.
All right, where is the Charlie Elliott Wildlife Center located?
It's not too far south of I-20. It's south of the town of Mansfield out on Highway 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I say, it doesn't start till 10 a.m. You'll see the signs and the cars, but it's a large, beautiful area. You can spend the day there and have a great time.
Okay, and people can look that up on the internet and find the direction.
Absolutely.
Right to it.
Absolutely. If you go to that site we were talking about, gofishgeorgia.com,
mm-hmm.
We've got all of our kids' fishing events on there.
How many people will be there today?
I'd say anywhere from 500 to 1,000.
Wow.
And it'll be weather dependent, but it's a big event.
You give children an opportunity to go fishing, and they'll take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they'll take it.
There's a lot to do at this place. And so, like you said, we hope to see a lot of smiling faces.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to see a lot of rods bent over
in some
of those ponds, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Let's talk about the Go Fish Center.
Sure.
Where is it located?
It's located down in Perry, Georgia. You can't miss it. It's just right off of I-75 by the Georgia Ag Center right there. It's a wonderful place. It's probably a quarter mile off I-75, so just not too far south of Atlanta, certainly close to Macon. And so
it's worth the trip to go there if that's the only part of your trip.
Oh, you could easily spend a day there. So we've got everything from aquariums, and these are large aquariums with live fish. We've got alligator exhibits. We've got fishing simulators, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we've actually got what they call a casting pond. I actually call it a catching pond because you will catch a fish mm-hmm. out of there. And so, you know, very modest. I think it's $5 to $7 entry fee, and you can spend the entire day there.
Well, one of the things I want to emphasize here: this is not a little 10,000 square foot building.
Oh no,
it's huge.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And if you want to see all the Georgia slam bass and trout and saltwater critters and frogs and alligators and turtles,
that's right.
And this, I like the simulator.
That's pretty fun, Ed.
Oh,
that's
wow. Sit in that seat and hook a marlin and see how that feels.
That's right. That's
and
right.
A fabulous display of mounted specimens of fish that are caught in Georgia and on the Georgia coast.
Absolutely. The whole center is geared towards celebrating fishing in the state of Georgia and how great our fishing opportunities are. And so you can see all that on display at that center. Like you said, you can certainly look at the different mounts of fish that we have in the mm-hmm. state, but what'll really grab you is those large aquariums. We've got some fish that have been in there quite a while now, and we fed them well, and so they're getting
getting
very big, and even some of the alligators get a little big.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an excellent way to see fish up close.
Well, one of the things, now, listen to me now, watch, look, this O'Neill, I'm telling you, take your family there, and I guarantee you, listen, this is good, see if you
okay.
grade me on this, Matt. I guarantee you there's a little girl or a little boy in the neighborhood where you live whose dad doesn't live at home, or his dad is not an angler or an outdoorsman. Invite them to go with you. Invite him or her, the adults, but be sure and invite the children to go with you to the Go Fish Center. And this is not, hey, let's stop by for a few minutes. No.
Oh, make a day of it.
This is, let's go to the Go Fish Center and spend the day.
Yep.
You won't see anything two times. in a full day, right?
You're correct. And that's a great point that I forgot. You know, always talking about introducing kids to fishing. But there's also another component of it that we've learned through folks study this type of stuff. And it's you'd be surprised how many people want to be invited. It may be a neighbor. It may be something that you see at someone you see out in town. But all it takes is to invite them. They see you going out fishing. And so we always encourage folks, if it's one weekend a year, whatever, is invite somebody, and you'd be surprised.
Indeed. You'll be – this is this will be a fruitful day. I guarantee you it will be a fruitful day to go to the Go Fish Center south of Macon, Perry, Georgia, at the – what do we call that? Fairgrounds? What do we
– Georgia National Fairgrounds?
Yeah, Georgia
National
Fair.
Yep.
You can't miss it.
Can't miss it.
And it's so – it's so often that you don't have government monies spent so fruitfully. Buddy, this is one of them. This is one of them.
We get a lot of compliments on that place. You will enjoy it.
Okay. All right, it's 46 after the hour. 404-872-0750-800-972-825. Well, I've had calls here all along, and I didn't know it. It's 47 after the hour. Let's talk now to David. He's calling from Blairsville, Georgia. Good morning, David. Sorry it took so long to get to you. What's going on?
That's okay, O'Neill. I'm enjoying listening to the talk.
Good. Thank you.
Glad to hear you got Mr. Mike Thomas there with you. Be able to ask him a couple of questions about regulations.
Okay, let me get Jason to turn that sound up for me a little bit, if he can, so I can hear you a little bit better, David. All right, let's try it again.
Okay, I was going to ask Mike Thomas some questions about fishing regulations.
Okay.
Mike, as far as jug fishing in the lakes for, like, catfish, what's the regulations on that in Georgia?
Jug fishing for cats.
So jug fishing is considered recreational fishing in the state of Georgia, so you have to have a recreational license. There are no limits on the number of jugs or hooks that you can use. Now, we do ask that, you know, at the end of your trip, that you try to pick up all of them.
Yeah, retrieve the jugs.
Yes, yes. But it is, it's recreational fishing. We're seeing more and more of it. And there is no limit to the number of hooks you can have.
It's certainly cooler at 1 o'clock in the morning than it is at 1 o'clock
in
the afternoon.
Absolutely.
And my grandkids are going to enjoy the heck out of that.
It is.
I'm looking really forward to that. And also, what about using a cast net in freshwater?
You got to be careful with that. Cast nets in freshwater are used to collect your bait. So threadfin shad, gizzard shad, and blueback herring are the only species you can keep with a cast net, and that's to retrieve your bait. So if by chance you catch something else, it'd be wise to turn that loose.
Yes, indeed.
How does that work, catching the blueback herring at night? I see the guys out there with lights and stuff. How do they do that?
Get your lights under the boat and make a throw.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, they don't put any bait or anything? They're just riding along with
No. Yeah, that's right. Bluebacks are more open water pelagic, so they're riding around. They're not putting any bait out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know Notley's got a lot of bluebacks in it, so I'm wanting to catch a bunch of those.
David, I'll tell you a story that once I was in Louisiana, and I was at a little marina, and a fellow came in with his gill net. He wasn't supposed to be using a gill net.
Uh-oh.
And the Department of Natural Resources in Louisiana representative was there when he came in. He had two largemouth over 13 pounds in that net.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's not good.
No, that's not good. Thanks for the call, David.
Thank you, O'Neill, and I look forward to talking to you again. And,
I hope so soon.
Yeah, I should tell you, I got a 12-pound hybrid 2 weeks ago over on the Tennessee River, and my dad, my 79-year-old dad, got a drum that went over 30 pounds.
Wow, congratulations on that.
Yeah, no, those are rod benders right there, both of them.
That's a big fish.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for calling, my friend.
All right, talk to you later.
There you go. There you go. Now, let's talk to Don, and Don is calling from?
Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, Don?
I got a question for you, for your guest, sir.
All right, Matt Thomas. Yes, sir.
I was in North Georgia. I fished. I lived next to the Chattahoochee River before the lake was put in. And we fished for with a cane pole for a fish we called a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a carp, or what were we fishing for then?
That's a great question, because it could have very well been a carp, but there are quite a few different suckers, and they're different species in that system, so I'm not exactly sure what that would have been.
That could have been a little horny head.
Yeah. It Do you know the been. Size of what y'all were catching?
Probably 4 or 5 pounds, which was huge.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
the,
that's a good one.
Well, that wasn't a horny head.
No.
That'd be a tough one to nail down.
Maybe one of those red horse things or something like that.
Could have been. There's no telling. There's all kind of suckers out there.
Buddy boy, you're telling your age when you're fishing.
I know that, fishing. But I'm telling yours too, so you know that doesn't make any difference.
I won't make fun of you.
Yeah, and you know, we fished with a cane pole, because if you fished with a rod and reel, you made one cast and spent half a day trying to get rid of the backlash, you know.
That's right.
Back then, that is absolutely correct. Glad you called, Don. Be sure to say hello to Ross.
Will do. Thank you, O'Neill.
You bet. See you soon. Let's see. We've got time, I believe. Well, maybe we don't. So, Jay and Jerry, you guys hold on, if you will, please. This is O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB in the Sports Broadcast Nation. I have with me this morning Matt Thomas. Matt Thomas is the Chief of Fisheries for the Department of Natural Resources, the Wildlife Resources Division, and we'll have him in here for the second hour also, available for your questions. And the subjects that I bring up, and we still have several of those, it's my opportunity also, before the time runs out and I go to a break, for me to remind you of a couple of things, very selfishly. Number one, if you'll go to Amazon.com and type in O'Neill Outside, you will find O'Neill Outside's book there, the e-version of that book and the printed version in the next couple of 3 weeks. It's called O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, the stories of being in the outdoors for the last 65 years. 65? Wow. Oh, my goodness. Seems like a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. I fished Lanier when it backed up, 1954. Try that out, if you will. And $1 of every sale goes to the Ronnie Thames Foundation to support the treatment of child burn victims. So O'Neill Outside at Amazon. We got to go to a break. We'll come back to winding up the first hour of O'Neill Outside for this morning. We got another hour to go, but because he's been holding on quite a while, let's talk to Jay, and he's calling from Mableton, Georgia. Good morning, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You have to turn your radio down now, so what's going on?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that to your audience that fishing is a great way to get exercise, and Matt Thomas, you could probably address this. It's a great way to get some exercise, stay out of trouble. And if you want to win some arguments, turn it away from politics and discuss trout, carp, and bluegill. What do you think, Matt?
Hey, that's a good idea. That's right. This doesn't have to be about the Clintons or the Trumps. It can talk about whether it's a bluegill or a shell cracker or whether it's a largemouth, right?
Yeah, you got to if you want to win your man card and maybe you're in doubt or, you know, there's so much on the news about violence and things like that. You can contribute to the nation in general just by getting a license and going out to the lake for a couple hours. What do you think about that, Matt?
I think that's a great idea. And I did fail to mention fishing is great exercise.
Yes,
I know
indeed.
There have been a couple of days where I'm carrying that kayak to where somebody told me it was just around the corner. And so it is great exercise.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned getting out and buying the license and what the good it does. We get asked all the time, well, what can I do for conservation?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the easiest things you can do is buy a fishing license.
That's right. I mean, I'm way over 60, but I buy the sportsman's license.
There you go. There you go.
And it's money well spent.
Absolutely.
I think 60s.
I'm sure there's a merit badge on maybe both sides of the Scouts and maybe Boys Club, Girls Club that discusses fishing and maybe a person, maybe just the average citizen goes out there and catches a fish and maybe you can get a certificate for it. Is that available to Mr. Thomas?
Absolutely. Two things there. So we do have close ties with a scouting organization, and they use our facilities to go fishing. And we also offer what we call an angler award program.
There you are.
So you don't have to catch a state record.
Just
there's certain minimum
be involved.
Size. Yep.
All right, well, Matt, I got to go. Glad you called, Jay. We've got to leave right now because it's the top of the hour, news, weather, sports, and traffic, and there'll be another hour.